Morning, good to see you folks today. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. This song was written back in 1876. And they thought you needed to pray then. I wonder what they'd think today.
That's a great thought and a great song. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. You may be seated. Well, welcome to the Victory Bible class. I'm going to put something up here for you to... This is a little bit to read. Let's see. John, I've got the clicker on. I am going forward, and we're not going forward. So could you, if you wouldn't mind, if you could advance one slide for us. I'm going to let y'all read over that while I'm getting the prayer sheet and everything together. And just tell me what you think. Yeah, what do you think there, huh? That's kind of amazing when you... Ipsy. You just need your touch, John. That's kind of amazing when that really hits you, isn't it? Who would have thunk it, huh? All right, well, we are thankful that you're with us in the Victory Bible class today. I would like to mention, John, if you have the opportunity, if you could just take us forward one slide. We're continuing on with our flood geology series today that we have started a few weeks ago. And I want to emphasize that if we get enough questions in, we'd like to end this, not today, but end this with a question and answer session. So you can ask Troy questions about fossils, dinosaurs, Noah, I don't know, all of the things that may be going through your mind. And as they do, jot them down, get them to Troy, and we'd like to have a question and answer session. Because, you know, I know that many times I've been sitting out listening to someone who has spent hours and hours and hours and days studying something, and they have a tiny slice of time to get it out. And they've got all the dots connected in their head, and it comes out so quickly. And I do this too. I know I'm talking 100 miles an hour. And I put things out, and you're seeing it for the first time. You haven't spent all the hours, and it just doesn't always connect, does it? Does that make sense? Y'all get that? Yep. So because of that, and geology is not something most of us spend a lot of time in, that's why we want to offer a question and answer session to drill down into some of the topics, some of the things Troy's told us that maybe you'd like to know a little bit more about. I have already submitted one question, so if we could get some others, that would be great. I know y'all got questions whirling around in your minds. I can see the smoke rising. I hope that's what it is anyway. All right. Let's move on. If you are with us for the first time in the Victory Bible class, and we do have Larry and Tim. Where's Larry and Tim? Yes. Good to have you guys with us today. We appreciate you being here with us. If you're joining us on the internet, we thank you for being here with us each week in the Victory Bible class. The Foreigns are away at a mission conference again this week. But speaking of missions, here's our mission slide. Miss Summer did make it through her surgery. She is in recovery. It may take a few weeks. I'm not really sure when she'll be back, but it'll take a few weeks. But so please remember our missionaries that are on our slide here. That's why I put the slide up. Each week, as they come across your mind, pray for them. Our missionaries need our prayer, and they need our support. That's the things they need from us. And so please keep them in mind. Let's go bottoms up this time. Let's start with anniversaries. I want to wish a happy anniversary to the Burruses 6 and the Magnuses 48. So happy anniversary. Did we miss anyone? Anyone else have an anniversary? Okay. Birthdays. Let's go up to birthdays a minute. Does anybody notice anything about the birthdays this time? Maybe about the distribution or something. What jumps out to you about the birthdays? No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Expand on that. Expand on that for those who don't play. So what is it? What is it about the birthdays? Yeah, we got three on the same day and two on the same day in the same week on the same slide. Now, so first of all, I want to wish a happy birthday to everyone that's up there. But furthermore, I know what most of y'all are thinking. What are the odds of two people having a birthday on the same day? And beyond that, what are the odds of three people having a birthday on the same day? Y'all are thinking that, weren't you? And you want to go through the math, don't you? I knew you did, so there you go. All right? I know what you all came to class for, so there you go. That's the odds. Well, no, happy anniversary and happy birthday to those of you to who it applies. Let's see, what do we got next? Oops. Guest host, Troy Smith. Troy's going to be with us again today, and we sure appreciate all the work he has put into to sharing about the fossils, about flood geology. And as I've been reading through Genesis, I don't know how many times with this series going on, just thinking Noah was a real guy. Noah had a family, he had feelings, he had fears, he had faith. He had a lot of things, just like us, didn't he? He was a real guy. This is an event that really happened. God put it in his word for us. And we've got really smart guys like Troy who have studied it out to the nth degree and can present it to us. And I so appreciate that. I'm going to go over the prayer updates right quick. And then David Harrison's going to pray for us this morning. And he's also got a new book that's out that he's going to tell us about. So let me grab my glasses right quick. And so David Harrison's got back surgery actually on November 6th coming up in North Carolina. So you say a word about that when you come up, if you would. Stephanie Sedman is in Johnson City Medical Center. Jesse Garber. Oh, wow. So we had Jesse Garber on the prayer list. Y'all remember? So Jesse had a heart valve replacement coming up. That was downgraded to a heart valve repair. Now he had nothing because he doesn't need it. I don't even know what to say to that. Did y'all hear what I just said? Wow. So praise the Lord. Thank you for that, for Jesse. Wow. Let's see. Sharon is on the way to West Virginia. Elderly aunt is not doing well. And she's, let's see, for her aunt to be saved. So her elderly aunt is not doing well physically and also needs the Lord. So there's another prayer request. So I know you have many things on your heart, many things on your mind. And these are the ones that have been shared publicly with us. And so we want to pray for one another. And I hope you do that during the week. Hope you take time every day to read your Bible, open your Bible up and read it every single day. Take some time to pray every single day. So David Harrison, if you want to come and tell us about your book, and you can pray for us, and then Troy, you'll be on.
Mark, really fast, they need help in the nursery. They need one.
One in the nursery, okay. All right, we'll see who would like to volunteer to go to the nursery. Who do we have? Volunteer. The Tennessee Volunteers. Who's it going to be? Oh, I see a Tennessee volunteer back there. Thank you. All right, there you go.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for another day you've given us to be in the Lord's house for Sunday school. Now, Lord, so many needs, Lord, in a class this size, so many burdens, even those that weren't mentioned. We all have things on our hearts. God, I pray that you touch those that have gone through surgery this summer, the family this week. God, be with them, meet their needs, continue to touch her and give her a speedy recovery, plus all of those that's gone through surgery or facing surgery, as well as those in our family, Lord, that are suffering bereavement because of the loss of a loved one. And then, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our class, our teacher, meet every need, have your will and all this done. Bless the preaching hour, touch our preacher, speak to our hearts today, Lord, save some soul, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. I've been gone for several weeks preaching, and so good to be home. Brother Mark, I sent him a message yesterday, and he didn't get a chance to put it up on the slide. Maybe we can get that done next week. I have been working on a new book since last year when I was down with cancer, and to be honest, I thought I was going to die, and that's what the first doctor told me, that I wasn't going to be around long. So God really impressed on me to write my life story of how God called me to preach and all the meetings I did when I was traveling with Brother Ralph Sexton and all the youth crusades we did and the overseas meetings all around the world, just what God's done. The story not really about me, but about what God's done. So we started this project about 17 months ago, and it finally hit Amazon this week. And so if you would like to have a copy of it, I would be much appreciative if you'd buy a bunch of copies. So there's only 1,000 of hardback. This is a special edition. Our publisher only did 1,000 hardbacks. It's 488 pages, so it's a pretty good-sized book, hardback. And see if I've got it on my phone. I tried to pull it up on Amazon. If you can, yes, on Amazon. I've got it on Amazon now. It's in The Shadow of Revival. It's red, white, and blue. You can see it. And if you can't find it on Amazon, go to my Facebook page, and you can hit it there. It'll take you right to the spot. And it's got pictures from all the tent crusades, youth crusades, overseas meetings. A lot of men that's influenced my life. Brother Ron Comfort wrote on the back of it. He endorsed it. Our pastor's got something on the back of it. And Brother Johnny Pope and Brother Kenny Baldwin were writing to go on the back, but they didn't get it in time for the publishing. So it'll be on the paperback. But these are only 1,000 copies of hardback, and it'll be available until they're sold out, and then the paperback will come out sometime the first of the year. But it will not have the pictures, and so it'll be a smaller version. But anyway, go by and check it out. I hope you'll buy a copy, and that'll help feed my wife, amen, and pay our bills. And so we appreciate it. But the Lord's been so good, and I got so many things in the book that I tell, not the whole story, but just bits and pieces, and all the men that's influenced my life. So thank you, Brother Mark, for letting me share it, and hope you get a copy of it and read it. In the Shadow.
All right. Well, welcome. Thank you, Mark, for the time to be able to do this. I am going to pick up where we left off last time, hopefully, a couple weeks ago. I did bring back the rock that I was speaking about a couple weeks ago. People had asked if they could see it. It's got enough time today where I can pass that around, so I'll just start it around and you can take a look at that. On the sides of it, you can see the organism, the wormholes, and on the top you can see at the top of the sandstone where it would come out into the water. So I did want to pick up right where we left off last time. Last time we were talking in 2 Peter chapter 3, and just about the willingly ignorant statement that Peter had used there. And what people during the last days would be denying. They would be denying three things. They would be denying the second coming of Christ. They would be denying the creation of the world that is recorded in Genesis chapter 1. And they would be denying the fact that the flood occurred in Genesis chapter 7. And so we went through a little bit of the evidence that we have around our world that a worldwide flood event did occur. And so that is what the basis for flood geology. So I am going to continue on with that. But I just wanted us to think for a moment of what it is that people that in our world today are denying. They're denying God's glory. God created us to give God glory. God created the worlds, the heavens, the earth, all to his glory. And in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 11, we're told that God will not give his glory to another. That is a hard stop. He will not do that. He will not stand for that. And that's therefore the judgment that is coming. It's coming on those that do give glory, the glory of God, to something else. And I just want us to think for a moment about evolution and about how really it's just Satan's desire for us to give God's glory away, to give it to something else. And Satan was after God's glory. He did it in heaven. He had a revolt that he started, and it didn't go well for him, right? He got kicked out. He also tried to steal God's glory from Jesus. Those 40 days and 40 nights that he was tempting Jesus in the desert. And then we have the recordings of three of those temptations towards the end of that time. And in all three of those times, Satan was trying to steal and trying to take God's glory. And Jesus successfully defended God's glory by using God's word, and that's a great lesson for us. But then also in the Garden of Eden, when Satan could not have God's glory, his desire then was to steal God's glory from Adam and Eve and causing them to fall and to sin in that temptation. Was stealing God of his glory that Adam and Eve were to give back to God. And evolution is just nothing more than a crafty scheme of Satan to get us to not give God his due glory. It's to get people to get God's creation, the ones that he's created to give him glory, to get us to give it to something else. And if you think about what evolution is based on, evolution is based on the fact the principle, I should say, that everything we see came from nothing, right? So Satan's desire is to take God's glory and to give it to nothing. That's what Satan's trying to do, and he's very successful. If you look at our society today, majority of people in it probably profess that evolution is a fact. That was what I was taught when I was in the university. But when you come down and you look at the evidence that they have, it's based on nothing. I wanted to start with that thought, just as a follow-up from our last message, and then continue on making sure that we do give God his glory. And I wanted to start this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39, and it says, "All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds." And God was very specific about this. He gives us this in writing in his word, and it reflects his glory in this, that this was by design. So as we continue in the lesson through today, we're going to be referencing back to this portion of scripture, so just keep that in your minds as we go. And just as a way of introduction to flood geology, it starts right in where I'm standing there at what's known as the Great Unconformity. And so this can be found on every continent, and it can be found in more than one location on every continent. Here I am standing in the bottom of the Grand Canyon with my lower hand touching what is known either as the Precambrian or as Creation Rock. And my upper hand is rested on what is known as the Cambrian Age rock or the Flood Rock. So there is a contact between those two, and it is significant, the difference between the two rock types. And I'll be going through that, giving you a little geology lesson as we go. But this marks a significant change in the geologic history of the Earth. And it doesn't matter if you speak to an evolutionary geologist or you speak to a creation geologist. We all agree that this contact between these two rock types represents a significant change in the geologic history of the Earth. It is known as the Great Unconformity, no matter if you're a secular geologist or a biblical geologist. It marks, for a creationist, it marks the difference between the rocks that were formed in creation on day three, recorded in Genesis chapter one, and then my upper hand is resting on the sedimentary rocks that were laid down during the first moments of the flood. So there are three different rock types. If you remember in grade school, perhaps learning about the rock cycle, there are igneous rocks, there are metamorphic rocks, and then there are sedimentary rocks. And the sedimentary rocks are the rocks that are on the upper side there. Those are ones that have been eroded from the existing rocks, and then they were deposited as grains either of sand or as clay or as limestone, and embedded or set down in layers. And you can see some of those layers exposed there. But it's interesting that this contact is on every continent at the same time. Even evolutionary geologists will say that is the contact between the Precambrian and the Cambrian, and they refer to millions and billions of years, but what they are saying is it's the same moment in time. Now think about that. What could possibly have happened worldwide on every continent at the same time that eroded existing rocks and laid down other rocks? Right? You start to think about the reasoning of this, right? Well, what changes do we see? We see an abrupt change between the rocks that were above the Great Unconformity and from the rocks that were below the Great Unconformity. Below the Great Unconformity, less than 5% of the rocks are sedimentary. Above that contact, 95% of the rocks are sedimentary. Makes sense if you're thinking about a global flood, right? So here is Nate Loper. He was our trip leader. He leads Canyon Ministries, which presents many of our national parks in the light of creation, in the light of God's word. So we had an opportunity to be with him. His hand is resting on that sedimentary rock, that first layer that was deposited, and it is a sandstone. Well, sandstones are made out of sand. Every place you see the contact on all the continents, you have it in contact with sandstone. Not only is it in contact with sandstone, but 90% of the sedimentary rocks that we see in our world today were laid by water, right? So this sandstone is a rock that was laid down underwater. You have that on every continent at the same time, laid down by water. You would think it would be obvious that this was a worldwide flood, and yet the evolutionists will deny that. Interesting. What is it that they're denying? They're not denying just the principle of it. They're denying that God exists, really, is what they're denying. So the Cambrian explosion, this was something that I had mentioned a few weeks ago, and it's, sorry for the way that looks, it was, it's just that top word is supposed to be an abrupt change. Let me see, I think I skipped a... Yeah, an abrupt change in the rock record. So this abrupt change was from the igneous and metamorphic rocks below to the sedimentary rocks that are above. And we see an abrupt change in the fossil record. We go from above the great unconformity, all of a sudden there is a sudden appearance of fossils. There's a sudden appearance of billions of marine fossils, right? This is what the secular geologists refer to as the Cambrian explosion, because that first layer above the great unconformity is referred to as the Cambrian period. And so there's all of a sudden in the fossil record before this, before or below that great unconformity, there were very few fossils, or if any. There are a few algaes below that, but above it, we see a complete set of fossils that start appearing abruptly. And that that abrupt appearance is what is referred to as the great unconformity. So what is this Cambrian explosion, right? It's a geologic time, a geologic period immediately above the great unconformity, where billions of fossils suddenly appear in those sedimentary rocks. And for those of you who can remember back to maybe your biology class, where you ordered you listened to the classification of different species, there was that order that was given. It was kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Well, about 75% of all of the phyla appear in those layers immediately above the great unconformity. So now it's only the marine members of those, but about 75% appear, and they appear without any prior or ancestors that had any less complex forms. We don't see a change where they don't have shells in one layer and then all of a sudden they have shells in another. There's no transformations that appear in the fossil record. The fossils that appear are complete. They're complete with eyes, mouths, limbs, shells, and not only just eyes, but compound eyes. Eyes that can see much in the same way that our eyes see today. So we see this sudden appearance of these complete organisms. Well, what do we observe in the rocks? Well, we observe exactly what we would expect to see according to Genesis chapter 1 and according to Genesis chapter 7. We see exactly what we would expect to see based on a worldwide flood event. We see exactly what we would expect to see based on the creation as it's explained to us in Genesis chapter 1. And it also is exactly what we would expect to see based on the scripture that we read this morning out of 1 Corinthians. We see complete, complex forms that fit into very distinct categories. That's why the biologists can put the orders of things into those categories. If we had all of these transitional forms appearing, there would be no order to it. It would be all over the place. But because we can see it very orderly, we can see it just exactly the way it is explained to us, that there are different forms that fit into different categories, even based on secular thinking. So it is not a surprise to us. It may be a surprise to others, but it isn't to us that read our Bibles, that we see this order that is given. We also see a progression of fossils from 100% marine environment type of, think of shells and clams and things like that. As the flood continues up onto the land, you start to pick up plants, you start to pick up trees, you start to pick up things. All of that are the coal beds that we take our coal out of. And then above that are first the slow-moving animals, the animals that can't run away from the flood. And then lastly, you see the ones that that are captured and killed towards the climax of the flood. So there is a progression that we see in the rock record. So we observe order. And it's not surprising that our God would have order in things. He is a very direct, it was all by design. You know, when I look at these layers of rocks, it's amazing that we have that order. It's consistent, it goes across there. We also not only see consistency within a single layer, but we see reproducible layers. And this was something that even secular geologists recognized, and I wanna take a little bit of time to think about that here in a few minutes, that we see this order in rock layers, we see layers of rock sequences, we see coarse grain sands, then finer grain clays and silts, and then limestones. And then that process will repeat itself and will repeat itself very orderly as you would think about a flood advancing onto the land. We also see that order in the fossil sequence of, as I said, from the marine environment onto the land. So it's very orderly in what we see. So we see what appears to be stages of the flood. We see this in the rock record. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, we see it in the rock record, what does God's word say about the stages of the flood? And as Mark has mentioned, as you read Genesis 7 and Genesis 8, you start to pick up indications of what God has put in his word that indicate that there were stages of the flood. We see things like the first 40 days, and we see windows of heaven open up and the fountains of the deep opening up. Now, we don't know exactly what those mean based on God's word, but when you start looking at the rocks, you get a little indication of what that means. We see the fountains of the deep opening up in the oceans. We've discovered that the ocean, mid-continent in the oceans, has a rift in it. And out of it comes molten lava. Well, that's likely some of those fountains that led, that influenced the flooding of the earth. And so there are some thoughts that we have as geologists as to what that means. But then there's also a recording of days in the events of the flood. We see that the floodwaters reached their maximum at about day 150. And then we see the receding of those waters. And there is an explanation that we have in the geologic record to show why that would have occurred. But then there's a recession of those waters off the land, and Noah and his family get off the ark somewhere around day 370 or day 371, depending on how many days and month you put in your calendar. Those dates are given in God's word, and it's mostly related to Noah's age. His age when the flood began, and his age when the flood stopped. So we have this sequence of events that are given to us in God's word. And I did want to point out that in studying some of these things, in the 1960s, there were two different documents that were given. Many of you know the Genesis flood. It was written by John Whitcomb and Dr. Henry Morris. It was first published in the 1960s. But many of you probably don't know about Lawrence Sloss. Now, Lawrence Sloss was a secular geologist. He was looking at the geology in the United States out in the Montana region, a little bit into Idaho, North and South Dakota, and then down into Wyoming. And he was working for the U.S. Geological Survey, looking at the rocks, and as he was looking at the rocks, he could see sequences repeating themselves that had nothing to do with the geologic timescale. Right? All of the academics were based on millions and billions of years. They had geologic timescale set for the age of the Earth, the age of the rocks. Well, Lawrence didn't see that. He saw these repeating sequences, and in between each sequence was a brief erosional surface. So something had come in, eroded some of those sediments, and then deposited another package of sediments on top. He saw those in discrete packages. There were six of them that he mapped. And it was interesting, the academic geologists did not like his work at all. As a matter of fact, they were much against his work. But there was one group of geologists that looked at his work and said, this is exactly what we're looking for. It was those looking for oil, the petroleum industry. They used Lawrence Sloss's sequences, and guess what they were able to find? Oil. They were able to find, if you remember back in the 1970s, we had a huge energy crisis. We thought we were going to run out of gasoline and oil, and there were gas lines. You remember all those things? Well, it was about that time that the petroleum geologists started listening to Mr. Sloss. And they started mapping out, and guess what they were finding? More reserves of oil, right? Our country has benefited from that, certainly. And I don't think that that was by accident. I think that was by God's design, that these two documents came out about the same time. Well, it's interesting that there was a geologist. I'm not going to go that direction. There was a geologist that was working in the petroleum industry that was also a creationist. And so he started putting the work that Henry Morris and John Wickham had done together with the work that Mr. Sloss and others, Peter Vail was another geologist working on that, and understanding from a biblical perspective that those sequences were related to the flood. So this shows these six sequences on the side, and it is sequence stratigraphy as it is referred to in geology. It is a systematically grouped rocks, and it was just at the beginning referred to in North America, because they thought it was just in North America. Well, they've since found it, guess where? On every continent. At the same time, these periods all repeat. Not only that, but Mr. Vail, who worked for Exxon at the time, he recognized that those breaks, those erosional surfaces that are seen between those sequences were related to sea level changes. Interesting. All of these packages on every continent, and we have sea level being the reason why we're seeing these changes from one sequence to another. I don't know if I dare get close to this or not, but there are these six sequences here that they were beginning to understand that were related to sea level. And they were also finding later on that they were found on every continent, as they completed their investigations, all not just looking just for oil, but for fuel as well as for mining purposes as well. So this geologist, Mark, can you just grab that book right there for me? I don't dare go over there. So Dr. Cleary, who is a creationist, His PhD in geology and worked for years in the petroleum industry. Retired from the petroleum industry and has gone to work and is working for the Institute of Creation Research. He just recently wrote a textbook, and the name of it is Carved in Stone, and the subtitle is Geological Evidence of a Worldwide Flood. And what he did was he took those packages of rocks that were mapped by Mr. Sloss and others, and he has assigned the times based on the Bible to the days of the flood to this. So we have day one here at the bottom, and that was where I was standing at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. That was day one. Day 40 is about at this period of time, and day 150, and then day 370 is at the end. So that's been the basis for me to, it unlocked the geologic history of our Earth for me to be able to go and interpret what I see based on the progressive flood model, as he calls it. And it's allowed me to kind of go and observe not only the rocks in the Grand Canyon, but also the rocks in the Doe River Gorge just here in Hampton, Tennessee, and I can find that great unconformity between the creation rock and the flood rock. And it's the same thing. It's igneous rock in contact with that same sandstone that we see at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. That is something that is observed on every continent, and we can find it here in Tennessee as well. The other thing that has allowed me to do, then I could put the Doe River Gorge Ministries at the beginning of the flood, but then if you go to the Gray Fossil Site, the fossils they are finding are from the latest stages of the flood. So you can put those that into perspective. So it gives me the opportunity to be able to use this model. Now, does it happen exactly the way that Timothy clearly describes in his book? We don't know. But it at least gives us a basis for which we can use the same scientific observations, but we just use it with a different worldview. The worldview is from a biblical perspective, not from an evolutionary perspective. So it just gives us an opportunity to see that. So, to God be the glory. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And it is to his glory to conceal. He's concealed many things from us. But it also goes on and says, but the honor of kings to search out a matter, right? So we need to not let God rob us of the glory that we already give to him. That is the basis of the flood geology and what I've been able to use to be able to look at the rocks, not only here, but around wherever I travel. So if anybody has questions, you can write down your questions and get them to either Mark or myself, and we will try to get those answers to you at a time when, if there's enough of them, like you said, we can take time to take a whole session or just 10 minutes or whatever. It's about quarter of, you wanna end in prayer?
Yes, end in
okay.
Prayer.
All right. Lord, we give you thanks for the day. Lord, we give you thanks for who you are. And Lord, we give you thanks for all. Oof. Just give you glory. Lord, we just give you thanks for what you've presented to us. And Lord, for your word, Lord, that we can depend upon, Lord, for the salvation, Lord, that you provide to us. And we're just thankful for everything you do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.